Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 31st. See Home Club for details.
I already see the messages. Hey, come on, where's the fog? No joke, no fog tonight. This is a take care of business game.
He's not kidding.
On to the next one. Yeah.
Wow. All you do every single time that the Kings win is, where's our song? Sing me a song.
Oh, do you have a song for tonight?
No.
You said a Beam song every week. It's been a couple, huh? It's been a couple of weeks, Morgan, since your big hit. Are you just a one-hit wonder?
Yeah. Two-hit wonder.
Shut up and like the Beam. That was my concept.
Yeah, 100. You were the songwriter. You've been the songwriter on almost every single song, except this last one.
Yeah, so you're a one-hit wonder.
Cool, I'll take it.
No, you need to
Hanson
bring it.
Hanson was a one-hit wonder, right, Bop?
They had a couple of other hits, dude.
Name one.
We're three brothers and we like to sing. We're three brothers and we like to sing.
What? We're three brothers and we like to sing. We got long hair, Bop.
There you go, yeah. That was it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Oh, the Sacramento Kings continued their long road trip. It's a 6-game trip. The first two games got slapped around in Denver, boarded a flight to New York, and got slapped around more. They stayed in New York, though.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's go across the Brooklyn Bridge and take on a Nets team that looks more like the Long Island Nets than the Brooklyn Nets right now because they are so banged up. The Cams weren't there, Johnson or Thomas. Mm-hmm. Boyan's been out all year. Ben Simmons did not play. And some others who have been hurt are still hurt, including De'Anthony Melton, who got injured in Golden State. So this Nets team was extremely shorthanded. So, of course, the Sacramento Kings struggled in the first half. It was not pretty at times. There were clanking shots, and the Nets really got off to a strong start. In fact, in that first quarter, they ended on a 15-0 run. And you're thinking, what the hell is happening?
Yes.
Well, the Sacramento Kings bounced back in a big way in the third quarter. The defense stepped up. The fourth quarter was spectacular, and the Kings end up getting a win in Brooklyn tonight. 110-96 behind De'Aaron Fox is 30?
Yeah!
On efficient shooting? And Domantas Sabonis. Are you kidding me? Another 20-rebound game? Oh, let's settle it down. He also had a triple-double. 21 points, 22 rebounds, and 10 assists as the Kings improved to 24-22 on the year. They get ready for the Sixers coming up next. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Hi, Mo. How are you?
Thank you.
What's up, pal?
You don't ever just say hi. You say you ask me how I am.
Sorry.
A little off. No fog. No. How are you?
I don't have to unleash a fog machine for a win over the Nets.
They
did what they were supposed to do tonight.
100%.
Can we acknowledge it? You're supposed to beat the Nets tonight. We did that. Hey, we can enjoy it.
Absolutely. A road win in the NBA.
Yes.
I don't care if it's against a G League team or whoever else. You get that W, you go in that column. I love it. So I am good tonight. I got to stay back, watch the game from my couch, and it was just fun.
Was it load management for you? Why? What, you weren't on the broadcast tonight.
I know. I hate that. I wish I was on every single show.
You're on like a lot of them this year, so it's a little jarring when you're not.
Really? Oh, good. I like hearing that.
It's not jarring. It's just like, oh, she's not on.
Yeah, and it's sad because I would just love to be on every single one, you know? Like, even though it's nice not having to, like, dress up or put on makeup and just like be in my sweats all day. Besides that, so watching the Kings like that and watching them get a win, except watching that first quarter, I was getting a little worried and going, what the shit? What the shit is happening?
There was stuff I did like at the start of this game. And I think the most exciting aspect at the start of the game was how De'Aaron Fox approached the game. We spent a huge portion of the last couple of podcasts talking about De'Aaron Fox and his struggles. We all know the numbers by now. We know what he's dealing with. We know he's like, I'm not making excuses for it. And what's he going to say? My hands are hurting. I can't shoot because of it. Dude, he's a competitor. He's going to go out there and try his best to knock down shots. But it wasn't about him knocking down shots early in this one, which he ended up doing. Mm-hmm. It was him moving the ball early, passing up some good looks for better looks, getting his teammates involved. I'm like, oh, is he not going to want to shoot it tonight? No, he still shot it. In fact, he had a really strong first quarter for the Sacramento Kings, knocked down a couple of three balls. I just like De'Aaron's approach to this game. What stood out to you?
His approach and his feel for the game. Mm-hmm. You could just tell, like, his instincts were on point with everything. And it's, again, his hands were the same way that they have been the last couple of games. I don't know if he locked in differently, was just feeling a little better. And you and I had talked about this the last couple of games too. We go, we're going to laugh because we keep talking about his fingers being all injured and stuff, and watch, he's going to have a 40-point game. He's going to have a 30-point game, a 50-point game, whatever it is. And then we're all going to stop talking about it. And you do hush up people when you have a game, not only with 30 points, but an efficient game as well. Like you said, 11-19, but I love seeing that other number, 4-7 from 3-point land. And I thought he took some good threes.
He took one tonight that I was like, what are you doing, dude? He's like fading to his left. It's one of those, what are you doing? And then he made it. I'm like, yep. God damn it.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic tonight. He had 30 points in this game, 7 assists, 0 turnovers.
Oh, and I love
probably
that.
Probably should have had more assists, too. I thought he was doing a great job playing the right way. And here's the thing. Guys are going to go through stretches where they miss shots. I'm not necessarily focused on, like, if a good player is missing shots. I'm looking at, are they taking good ones? Mm-hmm. Are they getting to their spots? Are they making the right plays? And I thought in that Knicks game, there were stretches he got to his spots and just missed shots. I thought in the Denver game, there is far more forcing from De'Aaron Fox in that game.
Missed layups.
Especially late in that game. Uh-huh. So tonight, it helps when you knock down shots. And it's a good sign that he did knock them down. He knocked them down from three, the mid-range, the floater, attacking. So I think that's really encouraging.
But it's like you said, too. It you know, you look at the assists, the no turnovers, and it was the way that he was, I guess, seeing the whole floor. And I say seeing the whole floor because I thought he did such a good job of attacking the paint and not waiting until it was too late. I got to bail. I'm screwed. There's too many hands here. I got to get this one out. It was, I'm going to the paint knowing that this person's coming this way and this person might be coming this way. And if this person shifts over, I've got an open man in the corner. I've got open key on DeMar, whoever the hell else. And I thought he did a good job so many times creating that chaos for the Nets defense that, again, just makes him that threat out there that we keep talking about, that even if he's not shooting well, then keep being that threat. But tonight, he was doing a little bit of everything.
And it's honestly a good opportunity for him and the Kings to build a little confidence against a team that is not playing great right now. They're banged up. They've got guys out. They've been struggling. They've now lost 11 straight at home. Remember, they were 7-10 when they beat the Kings in Sacramento. I think they got up to 9-10. After tonight, they're 14-33. Hey. Okay. They made trades, right? Schroeder's gone. Finney Smith. It's just a different team. And they're probably going to be making some more. Maybe with the Sacramento Kings. I don't know. We'll talk about that. Mm. But yeah, I think it was a good opportunity to face a team that's like, all right, young, different lineups, newer guys in Brooklyn, and they're going to make mistakes. But I thought the approach was everything from De'Aaron Fox in this one, and he had a great night. So good to see him get it going.
It's like you said, too. It was from the start. Like, they came out strong. They came out good.
They missed some shots. I thought defensively, they got carved up early. And I think there were just some mistakes early on defensively. I felt like, guys, you got to lock in.
And it specifically happened, obviously, there toward the end of the first when it really felt like it started shifting. And it felt like those extra effort plays were starting to go for the Nets.
Yep.
And I wasn't understanding. I was like, wait, you guys look like you came in here all pumped up, ready to go, playing fast. Like, how does that shift that quick? I know it's a game of runs, but you're also playing a team with these this roster.
I will never understand that approach. And I'm not saying that this is the approach they had, but, you know, when you see teams like the Nets just outwork early on
or get
some good looks in the paint or get dribble penetration, you're like, okay, I know they're NBA guys, but, like, is your approach different in this game? You're going, it's Brooklyn. I don't know some of these guys. Like, I'm going to approach things a little more like, I'm going to take it easy. Yeah. Because I actually thought the Kings got off to a nice start in this game. They did. It was 20 to 15. It was 18-13, but it felt
good.
It felt really good. You're like, okay. And then boom, 17-0 run into the second quarter.
That's what it was?
Yeah, ended up going to 17-0 once the second quarter hit. So you're just sitting there like, is it going to be one of those nights? And you just hate because you had something good going on. You're digging yourself out of a hole. Even in the third quarter, where they start the right way amongst a bonus pick and roll. Beautiful basketball. And then they have three straight fouls, Fox, Sabonis, and Keegan, which was a theme of the night, getting in some foul trouble. And then the Nets get an open three. All of a sudden, they answer it 60 to 51. You're like, dude, are we going to be like live after this talking about a Kings loss in Brooklyn?
I thought about that at one point.
But after that, they tied the game pretty fast and they executed.
And I thought going back to even earlier in the game, too, points in the paint. I think I texted you about this. I was like, it just felt like we were saying 50-50 balls, all the other little things.
Yeah.
But it felt like they were just getting into the paint with zero force, zero resistance, the Nets were. And that to me was frustrating because you're keeping out some of the best players in the NBA at times in these matchups, but you can't lock in enough to like really put on that pressure and make sure someone's not penetrating on you. Again, it was adjusted. It got better.
The Nets, to your point, had 16 points in the paint in the first quarter.
That's what it was.
So 16 points in the paint in the first quarter on 8 of 14. Mm-hmm. The rest of the game, 22 points on 11 of 29, 37%.
Great.
So that was a big-time adjustment for the Sacramento Kings. I thought another good thing that I liked tonight, they mixed in some zone defense. And the zone didn't go well against the New York Knicks, but I felt like this was the perfect opportunity to employ this against a Nets team like this, right? A Nets team I just talked about. It's got some younger guys, maybe guys who haven't played a ton together. Mm-hmm. They're in different spots, experiencing different things. And it just kind of throws teams off. And it worked tonight. And then having someone that's such a disruptor like Keon Ellis out there, who's just flying around in the zone, digging at the ball.
Oh, yeah.
It led to some good stuff for the Kings.
Yeah, his activity alone and even his on-ball pressure and then their ability, whether they were in the zone or man, and they were just obviously defending a space in how they would switch with guys, it was just flowing.
Yep.
Like there was never any question like, no, you got to go that. You got to go here. You got to go. It was just flow. And I loved seeing that from this Kings defense, especially when it was keeping them around the horn and pushing them along the perimeter.
Do you look at me and think, Deuce is kind of a softy sometimes? Like, how do you look at me?
Okay, so like softy, like personality?
Sure.
Like sensitive? You're definitely sensitive.
Okay, sensitive. I'm definitely sensitive. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm just seeing all these messages and people are just demanding Fog for a win. They're saying that it should be a Fog on every win.
I thought you already decided that's not what you were going to do, no matter what. Are you being a softy?
A road win for the Kings! You wanted Fog, you get Fog. It doesn't matter if it's not Jason Kidd, Richard Jefferson, and Vince Carter. The Kings went to Brooklyn and said, hey, Jordy, Doug's got a little something for you.
Oh.
A little uppercut to the chin as the Kings take down the Nets. Let's give some love to De'Aaron Fox playing like a dog. And how about Domantas Sabonis? The guy got knocked to the ground. Elbow hit hard. He looked like he was in tremendous pain. Oh, is he going to come out of the game after he tweaked his ankle against the Knicks? No. This guy is first team certified hardcore tough. And what he did tonight, 20 rebounds. Give some more Fog. A triple double. Oh, and how about Keegan Murray, Morgan? Keegan Murray driving He says, Zaire Williams, get off me. I'm going to dunk on your head.
That was so nice.
And the Kings are 24-22. They're 11-4 with Doug Christie steering the ship. They get the win tonight in Brooklyn. In, what is it called?
Brooklyn.
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 You happy?
I cannot believe you still did that. You are softy. Open my window.
Daddy Deuce had to come through.
Daddy Deuce? Thank
for
you.
For a gift?
Yeah, chemicals. Chemicals. Oh, thanks, everyone.
You know what's so funny? The people who listen to the audio of this podcast probably don't realize that I usually do that pre-show. And so they're going to be trying, like, what the fuck is this?
Like, analyze the game, bro. Idiot. I can't even see the fog. I have to listen.
Oh, cool. You play some songs and you yell about something.
And call yourself Daddy Deuce.
That's not my nickname. That's what the people have called me before.
That's not my nickname.
No, I didn't come up with it. Anyway, where were we? Zone defense looked really good for the Kings in the second half.
Correct.
A couple of things. Second half numbers. The Kings outscored them 63-42 in the second half. They shot 64%. They knocked down 7 of 16 from 3. They only hit 9 threes in the entire game. 4 of those came from De'Aaron Fox.
Wow.
Sabonis, his 20th game with 20-plus rebounds for Sacramento.
Wild.
That's never happened in the Sacramento era.
Damn.
I remember, people talk about the franchise stuff. I care about 1985 and on.
I know.
This guy did it in Cincy. But in Rochester, this guy did this. I don't care.
Even the other day when we did our members only chat and we were looking at where teams, you know, like where they relocated from, blah, 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 all these things. I go, it's a whole new city. Like there's no, it should just be a whole different thing. A whole different record.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Sabonis. 20th game with 20-plus rebounds for Sacramento.
So impressive.
Big-time stuff for the Kings.
Huge, huge. I mean, to see that again, how many times we've called him Mr. Reliable. My favorite thing is that he's doing this every single night, and it's translating into Ws, because I think that's the biggest thing whenever we talk about All-Star, All-NBA, all these, how the national media views them. Look, they got the win tonight. Domas was dominant down low, and there's going to be still people that criticize who they were going up against. And that's fine. You got to just keep winning and keep doing your thing.
You can only play the teams on your schedule, unfortunately.
Yep.
Speaking of Domantas Sabonis, he was with G-Man after the game. I want to play the interview because he talked a little bit about how his elbow was feeling after that fall.
Domantas Sabonis now with a headset on. Domas, congratulations on the victory and back-to-back triple-doubles. And my goodness, I worry about the punishment that you take on a nightly basis. I know you try to shrug it off and not make a big deal of it, but man, it's got to hurt when you hit the floor the way you did tonight.
Today, I don't know. Today might be actually painful later. I'll have to see. It's been bothering me a bit, but I'll be good.
And it's the elbow and the left hand?
Elbow and the finger, yeah. It's weird. I don't even remember, but... Purple and blue, but we'll figure it out.
Well, and then you get thrown down by Claxton there with a flagrant situation. I thought we were in the wrong sport for a while.
No, it's all good. We're just competing.
How do you deal with that on a nightly basis?
You know, I'm used to it. I'm a big, you know, that's our job. We got to go out there and fight for our teammates, you know, and it's been like that ever since I started playing.
How badly did this club need this kind of a turnaround and to walk off the floor with a decisive victory?
Big. You know, it's been a tough start to the road trip with the scheduling and just not getting the wins and performing how we want to, you know, and this was a good one. I think our defense is pretty good, so we just got to keep building on that.
Yeah, defensive opportunities. There are multiple of turnovers that forced opportunities. Keegan got a couple of easy baskets early in the fourth quarter. Nice to see your pal De'Aaron Fox, you know, shaking off some of the shooting moves.
Yeah, he was great today. He was aggressive. He was making plays. He was poised when they started a doubling team, and we won today because of him. He was big time.
Domas, we always thank you for your time, and we wish you well. I know that you take some time and recuperate before going to Philly. And
it's another tough one.
Yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday night.
Yep, thank you. All right.
There's Domas Sabonis with G-Man.
Two things. Yeah. He's so good with G-Man. Like, I love how he interacts with G-Man. You can just tell he likes him. Love it. Even if it is G-Man that has to talk a lot because it's short answers from Domas, all the things. It's cute. Second thing, can you imagine Domas not being out there on the floor?
No. And I'm glad you said that because it's hard to imagine. The guy played almost 42 minutes tonight.
Oh.
42 minutes. He talked about like being what, purple and blue?
Yes.
I don't know if he's talking about his finger or his elbow, but he landed hard and he mentioned his elbow and finger. This was after he twisted his ankle the other game. Like, yeah, I imagine he'll keep fighting and try to be out there because that's just kind of what he does. It's kind of what the team does. They fight through shit.
Yeah, and that's great. So glad you do. But there needs to be a plan B just in case. And I just feel like as what we saw, not only tonight, but what we've been seeing with Alex Len coming in and trying to be that backup big, it's just you just can't trust it.
No, and it puts the Kings in really tough spots because they just don't defend Alex Len. And, you know, Fox was out there with him in that first half. I think there was a lineup that had, like, McDermott, too. But the spacing is just so bad. Like, they are just – they're ignoring Alex Len because you don't really look at him as a true lob threat, right?
He doesn't become a threat when he gets the ball. He has to get the ball out of the perfect spot.
Doesn't have great hands.
Mm-hmm.
When he's at his best, he's able to block some shots or get vertical, get a rebound,
clean up,
allow the team to get out and push. Mm-hmm. But it's such a drop-off with Sabonis. And, of course, Sabonis is one of the best bigs in the league. More than just talking about him being an all-NBA guy. Yeah, it's going to be a drop-off. But that is such a point of weakness. And, look, Kings won tonight, 110-96. You'll take the win. I can't ignore the 41 minutes and 24 seconds that Sabonis played. And this has been a theme all year. You're leaning so heavy on this guy. And he's not going to like stop because he is in unbelievable condition. He has a motor unlike a lot of people
on
in
this
the league.
Planet.
I mean, he's pretty insane. He could take the bumps and he just wants to keep playing because that's his mentality. And mm-hmm. I admire that. But man... And I know we've seen all the rumors out there that the Kings have interest in upgrading the backup big spot and they want more size at the wing spot. Trade deadline's coming up February 6th. Get this guy some help, man.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And look, we've been talking about whenever there's a win, it's not that we avoid this conversation. We always recognize still what the Kings lack within their roster, even in some of these wins. But this was one of those wins where it's even easier to focus on that going forward, not only because the trade deadline's around the corner, but because you did see a few more minutes. Doug rotate a few other guys. Obviously, Doug McDermott has been coming off the bench first. Alex Len, even when he comes in early, it's just like so noticeable and I'm not saying like it's a liability, but it's too much of a shift. Too much.
The bench is just what it is.
And that.
You're pretty much know you're going to get some really quality defense from Keon Ellis. He'll knock down a couple of shots each night, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going for 20 off the bench, mm-hmm. right? Trey Lyles on his best nights, 13-8, you know, 50, maybe knocks down a couple of threes, but that's been really inconsistent too.
Yes. But when it is that, it's like, yes.
Devin's a rookie. It's always a mixed bag. I thought he had some really good moments
he
today.
He did.
I thought he had a tough moment where he's got the ball and he's so eager to give it to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox was in the backcourt. That's a backcourt violation. Mm-hmm. It's like, Devin, you can handle the ball. It's okay. Like, you're a guard.
You have so much confidence in yourself, like always. Yeah. So just like, have that confidence still.
But the bench has to be upgraded. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've been saying it all year. You just look at it. And then the big story of this one, I don't know how many people think it's a big story. I do. Somewhat significant.
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter, who 2 years ago was a starting shooting guard on this team at the time, the best offense in NBA history from a rating perspective, got his first DNP coach's decision in this game tonight. As a member of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, wild. And when I saw that, I almost texted you to confirm, like, hey, is something going on, like shoulder, whatever. And then I realized, like, nope, that's just what it is. And we saw last game, Doug went with Doug McDermott first off the bench. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's keep an eye. Let's monitor. And then to see the DNP tonight, as we kept seeing his minutes go down, it was, it's more eye-popping. I don't think we should be naive to it, but I also don't think it's something to like freak out about. Like, he's never going to play again if for some reason he's on this roster still.
Yeah, but look at his minutes in January. It's continued to go down. In the month of January, he's averaging just under 13 minutes a game, under 5 points per game during that stretch, shooting 27% from three. Against the Knicks, he played 10 minutes. Against Denver, 6. Golden State, 6. 9 against Washington. 9 against Houston. And then tonight, 0. So, naturally, there's a couple of things. You go, well, maybe he's just out of the rotation right now. But the other thing is, well, maybe a trade's close. Because you don't typically want to play guys if you're close to trading them, like in a day or two.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's sitting. I don't know. You know, Cam Johnson did not play. He's missed the last couple of games with an ankle thing with the Nets. And they said, oh, we'll reevaluate him in a week. Well, they've got 2 games before the trade deadline. So it's like, all right, we'll reevaluate him after the deadline, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That it's that time of year where everyone's suspicions are up too. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
But to be fair, Kevin's minutes have been dropping dramatically. And, they instead go to Doug McDermott. I don't know if it's a different look. I don't know if they're trying to see if Doug can give them some sort of juice, but Doug tonight ended up being 0-for-4.
Well, and one of the other questions we asked when Devin Carter was going to come back, was going to start playing for the Sacramento Kings, whose minutes is he taking? Yeah. What's going to happen? And it's wild to see it take this type of shift, that it's like over everyone. It's going to be Kevin Huerter that is going to get the DMP. And I think that's just where we are at. And as we go forward, if they're winning with this happening, that's what you just got to do.
He has not been good for a while.
I feel bad. I feel bad. Think about all last year when it was the mental fuck of not starting over Chris Duarte, right?
In the preseason.
And you started with that, and everyone's like, oh, Mike Brown got his confidence down, all these different things. And, I felt that same way, but I'm also like, you got to find a way as a player to like learn from this experience too. And I think Kevin did do a good job of taking on those different challenges and being like, okay, this is how I'm going to approach it differently. Well, you can only do so much. And then once he got hurt and then coming back from injury, his shot has just never been the same since that first Beam Team season.
And then you look at someone like Keon Ellis tonight, ends up getting 30 minutes tonight. And I saw a lot of people talk about this. Oh, finally, he's back to 30 minutes. I want to caution people a little bit on the Keon Ellis thing with minutes at this point. He got 30 minutes tonight because Keegan Murray was in foul trouble. And so he got more of an opportunity.
Yeah.
But because of how this roster is currently constructed, I think Keon's role is going to be that, like, 18 to 23 minute mark, right? You're playing DeRozan. He's going to play some big time minutes. Now, I don't think he should be playing 37. He played 37 minutes in this game. Mm. Keegan, because of the foul trouble throughout the game, only played 24 in this game. Malik played 34. Fox played just under 37. There's only so many minutes.
Yeah.
And so I think Keon's going to be kind of in that 23 minute mark per game based on how this roster is at this point.
It's a great role to be in because, again, you also think about some of these guys, whether they get in foul trouble or it's something like things just aren't clicking for them. They're off. They're having an off night. You know, like Doug's just not, or a coach or whoever is not going to just shove these players back in if what's working on the floor just because they have a certain name, right? Like, I think they kind of have this understanding of how to rotate the, I guess not the right way, but better than what was happening. So Keon's just always got to be ready for a 30 minute game, an 18 minute game, a 23 minute game, play your role, do what you're supposed to do.
And he was ready. He was awesome tonight. I thought defensively, he had some great closeouts. I think 2 blocks. The one thing the Kings have to change, by the way, just thinking about closeouts for a second. I cannot see another game where you foul a 3-point shooter.
Oh, yeah.
How many threes and one have we seen from the Sacramento Kings? We saw 2 in this game alone.
And we saw Steph with two in that Warriors game, the
Did
first
it happen
Warriors
against the
game.
Knicks? I think it might have.
For Jalen Brunson?
Maybe.
Okay.
If you, I believe it.
Either
I don't
way.
Know.
But I have seen it around the league more, too.
It's going to happen more around the league because you want to close out. But like yeah, it's, yeah. It's got to stop.
I know.
You know,
I know.
And it seems like every time the Kings do it, the guy makes the three. And then the Kings have like four examples today where it's like, oh, the Kings buried a three. Oh, no, like DeRozan's foot was on the line twice. Oh, Fox's foot was on the line. I'm like,
oh, yeah, the first DeRozan's first shot, I think it was. It was just like a real long two, And it's like, come on, just a little inch back.
Man.
I know.
But stop fouling the threes. But anyway, go back to Keon. Yeah, I just, he's a really, really talented defensive player. There are some matchups that are going to be challenging with him. I think he struggles with bigger guys. But when he's out in the perimeter and he's putting ball pressure on, you know, right away. The Kings actually did a good job with that, I thought, too, in the second half. Is he had a lot of full court pressure,
yeah,
just making them work. Late into the clock, all of a sudden they're trying to get into their offense and they're looking at the shot clock going, shit, we got to go. And then you're prone to making mistakes, especially if the Kings employ that zone.
He's got those instincts.
Yep.
And I think it's so beneficial. It would be beneficial to any basketball team, but you think with this team, especially when they don't necessarily have the size, have the length, you got to have really smart defensive players out there. And Keon Ellis has been able to be one of them, making such a big impact. And, you know, we keep talking about him and just going back to even Devin Carter, because yep, I think about him having some of those moments as well where he's just jersey in front, body stays in front, slides, whatever. You know, he's still making some rookie plays, whether it's a foul. He might have fouled someone on a 3-point shot, or just like, I think someone on an and one opportunity or something that had happened with him. But either way, I just love that aggressive nature, that activity, having those instincts. It's really been impactful for this Kings defense.
As someone in the chat's wondering, is can Keon take some of the minutes from like DeMar or De'Aaron to get their minutes down? Yeah, I mean, I think that should be a goal, is to trim those guys' minutes and take some pressure off of them. I mean, especially with De'Aaron, like we talk about all the time, his responsibilities on both ends. Yeah. Like, let's let him have some in the tank, you know? Let Keon get out there and take a few minutes and play you with Malik. Speaking of Malik, he did not make a three in this game, 0-for-6, but I still like this game. 16 points, he had 9 assists. He had some nasty dunks.
Malik.
Some loud dunks.
Mm-hmm. He is always just so fun to watch, and his ability to get into the paint, whether it's to have fun in the two-man game with Domas, pass it out, or to have just some crafty, insane finish at the rim where he's starting on the right side and finishing on the left, getting it high off the backboard. It's impressive. How he's able to finish has been very impressive this season.
He had 4 turnovers in this game. Sabonis had 6. That was the one issue tonight that really hurt the Kings. They had 10 turnovers early. And I think he had 10 turnovers at the half.
Ey.
They ended up finishing with 18. And some of them were just like, what are you doing, guys?
Yeah.
That's the one area Keon had a couple of tonight.
That's what
right?
I text you about. I was like, "What? Why is he missing these passes? Like, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or it would just go through his hands. And those are the moments it's like, you have to focus at the first task at hand, and then you can go, and then you can make a move, but you have to do those things. And under Doug Christie, you know what? You're not getting pulled for those mistakes, but you got to learn from the first one.
Looking back at my notes to see if there's anything I missed about that I want to talk about in tonight's game. You know, Keegan, the foul trouble definitely hurt him in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple fouls. And I'm like, come on, man, you got to be better. When he picked up his third, it was like an aggressive one where he's a little out of control at half court, just bumped in to the offensive player. I think it was D'Angelo Russell. But I thought offensively tonight, in his minutes, I loved his attacks.
Yes.
I mean, he had that one. Yes. I think the play was when Malik had a really nice contest on a jumper that forced a miss. Kings get the rebound. Keegan gets the ball, pushes in transition. Zaire Williams backpedaling. Keegan just lowers that shoulder a little bit, creates a space, and dunks it home. It was nasty.
Was such an aggressive dunk, such an aggressive move.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've seen that happen at least once a game or every other game.
It's happening more often.
Yes. And that I'm happy about, but I'm like, more, please. More. We want more. That's what little kids do.
He had some nice drives. Yeah, that's sign language for more.
Is it just sign language for more? I thought just kids, like parents just teach their kids go.
It's sign language.
They want more, like more food, like more. I want more dunks. More dunks, Keegan. More.
I said it with so much confidence, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I took 2 years of American Sign
Language. Whoa, 2 years sign language for more.
It's going to be that.
For a baby. Not for a baby. For an adult. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more.
More.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're going, Deuce, why did you take ASL?
I didn't.
You're probably wondering.
I think it's great that you did.
Well, I took it because you, at Sac State, I went to Sac State and you're required to take 2 years of a language.
Correct.
I didn't want to take Spanish. And
smart.
I was like, dude, you know what? I'm going to try
Everyone
sign language.
Should take
and
ASL.
It was so fun and challenging at first, but it was a lot of fun. You walk in your first day and you're like, oh my God, my instructor is deaf.
That's so cool.
It's scary at first. You're like, how am I supposed to learn? And then you do.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because and we should all learn ASL, even though I did not learn ASL and I took Japanese instead.
That's
not
cool.
Wa Morgan's son.
That's all you know.
Thank you.
It's not that impressive. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, you barely knew more.
Oh, man. Also, we were talking about Keegan. Keon had a steal and a nice closeout. Both those plays ended up being Keegan Murray drives in the sequence right after. So that extended the lead to 84-78. And the Kings pretty much never looked back after that.
And I loved when that happened.
Yeah.
When they never looked back. That I needed, I was not waiting for that moment to happen, but if it didn't happen, I don't think I was going to feel as good about this win. You don't have to do this, but what I always try to do in these is take a step back and go, yeah, these are all NBA players out here. Even if it's the roster's beat up, shorthanded, whatever, like these are NBA players out here. Like things are still going to be competitive, challenging, whatever it may be. But you find a way to win like this in these type of games, great. Then I'm happy.
Oh, I'm with you on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... In the NBA, you're going to have nights where it's, like, hard to win, you know? I didn't like the start of tonight, but, like, the good teams find ways in the fourth quarter to, like, just close it out. They had a 30-18 fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Took care of business. It wasn't the prettiest thing, and there's things that you could take from it and pull, and hopefully you're better the next game. But yeah, I was with you. When it was in the third quarter and they were like fighting and clawing to get back in it, I'm like, it's not going to be very fun if we're talking about how about the Kings escaping with a win 100-98, or if they somehow lost it. So yeah, you take it. No one's like going crazy like, oh my God, what a win.
And I think Doug even said something about it. Like it's an NBA road win, and those, you are happy when you get them. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, we can hear a little Doug Christie then, as you say that. Here's Doug Christie after this Kings win on the road against the Brooklyn Nets.
They're hard to come by in this league. So from that standpoint, there's a lot for us to be happy with, and there's some things that we still got to continue to clean up with our consistency. But overall, we got out of here with a W, and we continue to build and solidify our identity. And that's the most important thing. Winning is everything, but us solidifying who we are on a night-to-night basis so we know what we're going to an arena with is paramount for us.
Playing fast, 19 fast break points for the Kings tonight.
Right from Fox, sort of qualifies when you talk about building an identity. Just what did you like about his performance, particularly in the third quarter?
Yeah, I think more than anything, like when you get that aggressive Fox, it's a special sight to behold. He can get downhill when he wants. He's got the floater. All of a sudden, the three ball starts to fall. He gets to the free throw line. All those things, they add up. And I think even defensively, when he's engaged like that, that physical presence, and he's a load to deal with. And I was really happy to see it.
It seemed like you guys defended well, or at least prevented them from shooting efficiently, but they did get to the free throw line a lot. How do you view that in terms of the defensive effort?
Well, I think we're right up there with the worst in the league at fouling three-point shooters. So that one does not make me happy. But what I will say is the ability to go vertical at the rim as opposed to slapping down is something that we continue to talk about, and we're going to continue to work on to be better at. Because, like, when a guy gets an angle on you, now help's coming over, and instead of slapping down and sending them to the line, let's make them make a shot over you. And sometimes you just shake a guy's hand and say, good shot. I mean, let's not – because also these guys in our league are so good that they get to the free throw line, they see the ball go in a couple times, and now all of a sudden they found themselves a game when you want to put them in a bad position and you've done your job defensively. You don't have to do anything else. Contest it, and we live.
And Fox yesterday said, or I guess after the Knicks game, so talked about just how, you know, sometimes slumps happen in the NBA, and he wasn't willing to talk about or didn't blame injuries for that stuff. Given your experience in the league, how much do you sort of appreciate that from a star, particularly in a league where so many people are resting?
I think it's for Fox. I really love him for that, because it's a sign of maturity and leadership. Being in this league for many years, no one's completely healthy, so you're trying to find your way. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured, and him just continuing to work through bumps and bruises is, like, super huge. And I think his teammates recognize that. I know, and I hope that he understands that I do, because that is big-time leadership. There'll be nights where he's feeling more like this, and then there'll be nights where he's feeling more like dropping 13 assists.
Did I not
thank you, guys.
Say
appreciate
that?
You.
There's Doug Christie after this game.
Said that the other night.
What's up?
I was talking about how there's going to be nights where he just needs to be that playmaker, needs to be that floor manager out there, dropping 13 assists, being that threat. Because whether it's his hand not always going to feel good, his shot not always going to be on, even if it's not due to his hand, he needs to be out there on the floor because he's making an impact. And if there was a day where he wasn't making an impact because injuries were too much, well, that's just when you do have to reflect as a teammate and a leader and go, okay, am I hurting or helping?
Well, he's awesome tonight. He had 16 points in the third quarter. Here's an insane stat that I read today.
What?
The last two games before tonight, De'Aaron Fox had 0 free throw attempts.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The last time that happened to him,
what?
His rookie year. That just doesn't happen. And so he didn't take a free throw in the first half. So he went 10 quarters without getting a free throw attempt. And I'm watching that game going, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm not going to be the person that bitches about officials all the time.
Good.
But holy shit, can some of these guys get a call? It seemed like the Nets were getting every single call. They are playing aggressive. I give them that. And the Kings are bad with fouling, as Doug was talking about. But I'm like, come on,
D'Lo's getting every minimal contact situation, any nudge to his hip, to his body, he's getting the call. And he's selling it, sure. But De'Aaron's also trying to sell or show a hit is worse than it is at times too, being like, give me this. Someone's wrapping their arm around my waist or they're grabbing my jersey. Like, you got to see all things. Even if someone isn't coming down and hacking my arms, doesn't mean that something else didn't happen, because they can't slow me the F down. I'm the fastest player out there.
Yeah, well, he was 4 of 4 at the free throw line in that second half. The good news for Sacramento, after the Nets had 29 free throw attempts through three quarters, they ended up only taking one more free throw the rest of the game.
Okay.
So that was good stuff for the Kings.
Yeah, that's great.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We're all one with Golden One. Scan that QR code on the screen or go to goldenone.com, because you could see the full range of services that they provide. Plus, if you join, you get up to 50% off Kings home games.
And not only that, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. And let me tell you, they got a lot of good stuff right now. So lots of perks. You can get your seats upgraded just by becoming a member. And it can help starting your new financial journey.
So go to GoldenOne.com because we are all one with Golden One. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows on your house. There's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest.
30th anniversary. Yeah. They have huge sales going on. If you're intimidated, hey, why don't you just give them a call and get a free quote today?
Yeah, go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
We're also presented today by our friends over at
Rocket Money. It's a new year. Yeah. It's still a new year. Like, beginning of the new year, it's January, so it still counts.
It's almost trade deadline, though.
Well,
It's January 27th.
Either way, so as you go into February, you're like, oh, did I do okay in January with my budget, with everything I want to do, with saving in 2025? Well, if you didn't, you probably need Rocket Money. So make sure to go check them out today.
I'm sure you're wondering, what is Rocket Money, Deuce and Mo? Well, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with RocketMoney.com. Go to RocketMoney.com/GameOn today. That's RocketMoney.com/GameOn. That's RocketMoney.com/GameOn. Also, go to DeuceandMo.com. Click on merch. Buy our merch if you want some awesome stuff. I never promote it.
Yeah. I'm bad at that. What are you doing?
DeuceandMo.com. Click on merch. We got great merch. It's podcast related. Some light the beam.
I usually only wear King stuff and DeuceandMo merch. But today, I got some other crap on.
Also, if you haven't done it yet, make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. Who should be our simply the best player of the game?
Easy. Well, not easy, because like,
Domantas Sabonis had 21 points, 22 rebounds, and 10 assists
one. I'm going with De'Aaron because he only has 8 fingers, and you know, it's something we've been talking about for a little bit now, and I think we all kind of needed to see this game from him to be like, okay, he's good. He's going to fight through.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox, simply the best player of the game, 30 points on 11 of 19 shooting, 4 of 7 from downtown. He had 7 dimes, 0 turnovers, 0 turnovers, and he's got the hand stuff going on. He's our simply the best player of the game. That's presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Sabonis, honorable mention, because he's just amazing. Beastly. But slight edge. Because the Fox, because he did not have 6 turnovers.
Oh, Sabonis had 6?
Yes, you know.
I know. Well,
Offensive fouls count.
That, but even the one to Keon, when Keon was like going out one way and he thought he wanted him at the dunker spot and then he passed it out of bounds.
Was Sabonis more mad at himself or Keon in that play?
I think he was mad at Keon. Yes. And he needed to reflect on himself a little bit more on that one. That one I was like, bro, Keon was coming out to the corner to get you a 3. Him in the dunker spot, what do you want him to do? Get a little push shot? Yeah. And he could have. He's not undersized, like completely where someone was going to block him. But he's feeling himself from 3, so he wanted to get to the corner.
Now we're having debates in the live chat about, no, it should be Sabonis playing again. No, it's Fox. It's okay. It's just a like subjective thing we just put up there.
Everything doesn't blow up.
I promise you, Sabonis had a really great game. And we gave him a lot of love for what he does every single night.
Every single night. But and technically, he could win it almost every single night.
He might lead this year in the Simply the Best Player of the Game.
But just to let you know, the Simply the Best Player of the Game does not get him an NBA All-Star vote. It doesn't do any of those things. So,
also, Keon Ellis won the Defensive Player of the Game crown today after the win.
Cute. So look at that crew. That's cute.
Yep.
I love it.
Other thoughts on tonight's game, Morgan?
Let's see. We talked about how it started, but then how it kind of ended in the beginning of the start. We've talked about individuals. I think we kind of already touched on this, but there's too many times where I was like, I don't like these rotations. Like a little clunky clunk. like where you just had to get other guys minutes. But at the same time, I think that just kind of goes to the bigger conversation of like,
you're searching with the bench, and it's the same problem that like Mike Brown had at times too this year, where we were getting on Mike about the minutes.
Is there a way you can stagger differently? And that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm curious about. But I don't think so, because I mean, you're giving someone like Kevin Huerter a DMP tonight. So,
well, I'm looking at some of the lineups. Let's see, Fox was in there, a lineup that I thought had some rough moments with Alex and Len out there. There's one that, lineup: yes. Fox, Ellis, DeMar, Lyles, and Len. And you know, the thinking is that there, like, you've got DeMar, who's another guy that can command a double team. Ellis has the ability to knock down three, same with Lyles, but they don't defend Len. And I also think teams are going to pick their poison. Like, all right, we're going to worry about Fox and pack the paint, DeMar, and kind of deal with that paint area,
yeah,
right? The mid-range area. We're going to play off Len. And if Ellis shoots a three, well, we might live with it. I don't know that's the right call all the time, but it just felt clunky. And when you cut off the paint for Fox and Debo, who are really effective kind of in that area, it's just going to make the offensive flow go away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I guess that's, again, there's layers to that conversation, change needing to happen. So I guess that leads us into that. I feel like the last couple of years at the trade deadline, we were always like, what's going to happen?
And nothing happens.
And then nothing. Yeah. Don't you think, like, more than ever?
Yes, Morgan, of course. We've been saying that for 4 months.
And I know we've been saying it for the last couple of years for those tweaks and reasons, but I feel like more than ever, like, it has to happen, or I'm just going to feel like in a dark place.
Well, I put the poll question out. When will the Kings make a trade? Tomorrow is at 17%. This week is at 26%. Deadline day, 24%. And then 33% of people say, silly deuce, they won't make one.
You bastards!
But if you really want to play the math game, you just add up the rest. The rest of the people think, you know, we're talking about 67% people think they're making a trade.
Great point.
33%
say
no.
Love that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the last two trade deadlines, and we talked about this so many times, but the first deadline that they didn't make a trade, it didn't bug me that much. It was the first year of that team, and you're like, okay, you made the minor tweak with Kessler Edwards. All right, let's see what it looks like. Last year, you knew early, it was like, yeah, you got to make something. And you heard how close they were on Siakam, and they checked in on PJ Washington and all these names. And then you don't land any of them. And the only trade you made was for Robin Lopez and cash considerations. Mm. And I'm sorry, when your fan base wants a trade really bad and your only moves are getting cash and Robin Lopez, people are going to be upset, especially because they've seen the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. This deadline, like, there has to be a move.
And it's not even, like, even if you were going off of, like you just said, the comment about the fan base is going to be upset, blah, blah, blah. It's not about the fan base being upset about not making a move this trade deadline. It is just so apparent that you can't win, ultimately win like this with this roster. You are not doing anything good for De'Aaron's future, Domas's future, capitalizing on DeMar another year, whatever it may be, if you don't make a serious tweak. And not just like a tweak, hey, they got potential. No, an established tweak. Oh, future picks. No, established piece. Established player.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I'm not in those rooms. I don't understand how that job actually works at times, when you have to have so many different relationships, you have to be willing to take so many different risks while also not mortgaging the future. Like, it's tough, but it is the job.
They have 36 games left and they have 24 wins. My goodness.
What are you saying?
Because you're trying to like figure out like how they get to a spot that's really good.
It's tough.
If they won 20 more games, which is not good enough, right? That'd be 20 and 16 the rest of the way. That puts them at 44 wins.
Okay.
Oof. 44, not going to be good. You'd be in the play-in. And you want to get in that top six. Right now, they are 2.5 behind the Clippers.
How can you... And here's my thing. How this season started, if they make it in the play-in, I'm happy. Because you literally had a coaching change.
Like, but you want to win in the play-in, so that's why the move is necessary. Yes. That's why it's all the stuff we talked about. Like, hey, Cam Johnson. I know. Like, you look at Cam Johnson. Would he help the Kings? Yes. I don't think it makes him all of a sudden some Western Conference contender, but having a guy that's 6'8", who is shooting the way he shoots, who's athletic, good size, just a good basketball player, high IQ, like, yes, he would make you better. And then all of a sudden you have him and Keegan. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, I think John Collins in a different way makes them better. He's got legit size, a lob threat. That pick and roll game made with him and Monk could be fun at times. He can also step out and hit a three. Mm. He's got a little pop to his game. There has to be something with that. And then you look at like the backup center spot and you're like, you don't want to just lean heavy on Sabonis to play 41 minutes a night. Uh-huh. So what's that going to be?
I don't know how you do it, but you got to do it.
It's going to be fascinating.
It is.
I mean, it's January 27th, deadline's February 6th.
We still have to figure out everything for that day.
Yes.
Yes, Morgan, I know.
I'm very aware.
Okay.
Let's go around the league for a second. Can we give some love to the Houston Rockets?
Ooh. But
Morgan, they won back-to-back games over the Cavs, and they followed it up tonight with a win over the Boston Celtics.
That's impressive.
In Boston, 114 to 112. Thompson, game winner. Yeah,
stop.
Yeah. Like 0.7 seconds. He got Jaylen Brown on a sweet ass move in the paint. Got him a little slow motion. Boom. He had 33 points in this game.
Damn.
He also had 9 rebounds. If I would have told you before the game, Şengün and Jalen Green would combine for 23 points, you'd be like, oh, well, they got blown out.
Uh-huh.
Well, Dylan Brooks in this game. Get ready.
I
10 three-pointers.
Oh, I didn't see that. What? I just saw the final part. I saw 36 points. 36. 10 three-pointers?
10 three-pointers for Dylan Brooks. He finished with 36. Amen Thompson with 33. Thompson, like, what a freak. And I can't wait to go back and watch more of this game to see some of it, because if he can start knocking down jumpers, like, it's...
If you're the Celtics, how are you not checking Dylan Brooks, like, in his gut after 5 threes.
I know. And that's another home loss. And I believe I saw something today. Boston is 5-7 in their last 12 home games.
When I see this stuff, it just makes me so happy.
Why?
Are you serious? Because there's so many times where the Kings have... Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to show it on the stream.
Okay, that's fine. No, wait. That's like a little De'Aaron shot right there.
Yeah.
There's so many times that the Kings have these stories. Oh, Dylan Brooks knocked down 10 threes on them.
And it happens to get the Celtics.
Yes. Yes. And I love it. Petty.
Hey, yes. Houston with some nice wins, man.
And that.
It's
good for them.
Damn, it's pretty impressive. 114-112 over the Rockets. And that was after the wins over the Cavs. The other game, Dallas against Washington, it was 130-108. I bring that up because Klay Thompson hit 7 threes in the first quarter of that game.
Damn.
And he finished with 7. They hammered the Wizards tonight, 130 to 108. They got a win over a really bad Wizards team who is now 6-39.
That one.
This might make you feel a little better.
It does.
The Knicks tonight destroy the Memphis Grizzlies, 143 to 106. Dude, back-to-back games dropping 140 plus on Western Conference teams.
Yep.
Insane. It was Brunson with 20, Bridges with 28, Towns with 24 tonight. And then the bench was big. Deuce McBride with 14, Achiuwa with 14, Payne with 11.
70 points in the paint.
70 points in the paint?
That is wild. I mean, Memphis had 60 points in the paint if you look on the other side, but still.
Yeah.
That's an, and to still lose by that much? Wow. Insane. Wow.
Miami, what a fascinating story that is. They won in double overtime tonight, 125 to 119. Khalil Ware.
What'd he do?
19 points, 10 rebounds, 7 of 8 shooting. He was 4-4 from downtown. I watched this guy pre-draft, and I was just looking at him going, huh, it'd be so fascinating if Indiana and their head coach, Mike Woodson, would allow him to shoot threes because he can. They did not take threes. They ran some old-school, ugly-ass offense, and he had this, like, rap on him. Ware had this rap on him, like, oh, he might be kind of lazy. So, of course, Miami takes him. Mm-hmm. He goes there, and he shows what he has. He's a big with some size, has some versatility, could step out, hit the three, and what do you know? He's been thriving lately. This is not just tonight, lately with the Miami Heat. Check this out, Morgan.
4-4 tonight, though.
4-4 from downtown tonight, but he's starting to get more playing time. His game log recently, last game against Brooklyn, only 7 points. Before that, 22-10 against Milwaukee in a loss.
Wow.
Against Portland, 20-15.
Damn.
Against the Spurs, 25-8.
Is this the post Jimmy Butler, like?
Dude, that in that situation that I was going to get to is like, it's so weird, but for Miami to find a player like Ware, God, he would have been perfect in Sacramento. I'm sorry. Like, that's the thing. Like, you look at that. It's no disrespect to Devin Carter. I think Devin Carter could be a good player in this league. But Khalil Ware has the ability and the length, the size that you need, and can space the floor. I know he's a rookie, but it looks pretty good right now. As far as Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat announced today, he's suspended indefinitely. He showed up to shoot around today, and Spoelstra told him that he would not be starting. And so Jimmy Butler left. He walked out, and then the Miami Heat suspended him indefinitely. They said no less than 5 games. Dude, the situation's so messed up. What did they think he was going to do when he showed up and they told him he wasn't starting? Of course he's going to throw a fit. I think there's blame to go on both sides. Jimmy has not handled this well, and his track record of these situations when he's unhappy, this is kind of what happens.
And what? But here, I hate, like, why would you reward bad behavior with a starting role? And especially, what does that show to the rest of the team, too?
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, the reality is, like, figure out a trade.
Yeah.
Like, get it done.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? It's not working here. And the only thing it's doing is distracting.
And it's like, I think in some ways that it's like, then it's just rewarding Jimmy Butler and we're giving him what he wants. No, like that's, it's like you said, it's distracting. It's making things worse for you and your organization by having someone who is toxic there. And I say toxic and I just, again, I've liked Jimmy Butler over the years. I don't like how he handles things at the end of his run with every single team. And I don't know both sides to the story.
That's the thing. It's
like, I can't sit here and be like, he's being a jerk about it. It's like, well, who's putting that narrative out there too? So,
well, they're hanging in the East and we'll see what they do in terms of the trade. I just wonder what that looks like. It seems like it's going to have to be a larger deal because they're not taking back Bradley Beal's salary. If, it's with the Suns, and that seems like that's the only team we're talking about is Jimmy to the Suns. It's a multi-team deal. What's that look like? What does Miami get back in that?
What do they want? They sure love playing double OT games, though.
God damn, right? They got this one. Hero, by the way, 30 points. He's having a great year. 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Bam, had 26, 10, and 9 in this game. So. And good shit for Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And give them credit for, like, staying engaged and getting it done. The Denver Nuggets, of course, they lose tonight. Back-to-back losses after beating the Sacramento Kings. They lose to the Bulls, and they fell apart in this game. They were outscored in the second half by a lot. It was, quick math, 68 to 53 in the second half.
Okay.
And it was a little closer than it would suggest.
Yeah.
Because they ran away with it in the start of the fourth quarter. LaVine, 21 points. Vucevic, 20-10-6. Jokic with another triple-double. 33-14-12. Are you kidding me? So annoying.
At least they lost.
The Bulls in the game hit 24-53 from downtown. 24 of 53, 45%.
It's got to be fun seeing all those threes drop.
One thing I want to ask you about, the dunk contest.
Okay.
How are you feeling about the dunk contest? The return of Mac McClung, the two-time champ.
Good for him.
He's on a two-way deal with the Orlando Magic. He's trying to pull off a three-peat in the dunk contest.
He's the one that's going to get shit on when he's the one that's actually stepping up and doing this shit, right? Like, no, none of the other big names are. No one else in the league is really wanting to. And I think that's where the NBA has to do a better job of reflecting on this being something anymore. Because sometimes things evolve and change. And you kind of have to change with it. And I feel like with the dunk contest, it's just not what it was. It's not magical anymore. And not, it's not because of the, just because of the people involved. Just a dunk contest used to be so different, you know, so power. And I think just dunks and things have changed over the years. Does that make sense? Like, it's not as magical.
Okay, to rewind, I think there were times early on in the dunk contest it seemed more magical than it was, right? Think about this. Not all the games are on TV all the time, right? You have access to all this.
Here we go.
So all of a sudden, this one game that happens once a year, they have a dunk contest, and you're seeing some of your favorite players that you don't see all the time, and they're dunking. It's like, whoa! I mean, it's just kind of like everything. Like, there was a time where, like, hey, black and white TV, oh my God!
Yeah.
There's color TV.
Yeah, like, that's kind of my point. And it's
Vince Carter in 2000 in Oakland had an unbelievable dunk contest doing windmills, things that we haven't seen before. Now, we've seen it all. I mean, we see it every night in the NBA. Every game's on. And if you're not watching the game, you're on Instagram, you're on TikTok, you're on YouTube or Twitter, whatever, and you see it instantly. Oh, my God.
Like Zion.
Derrick Jones Jr. had a dunk tonight, flying out. Oh, my God.
Remember Zion, the game he came back and he had that in-game dunk, you know, LeBron had an in-game dunk with people on him doing a windmill. Like, it's insane.
That's why I have pitched for a long time and it's never going to happen. What? I get it. I wish it would. It's just not going to happen.
What?
The best in-game dunkers against the best shot blockers. Mm-mm. That's the contest.
Too dangerous.
I understand it's too dangerous. I mean, like, that's why I said it's not going to happen.
What is this? WWE?
Okay, it happens.
Wait, you want to know?
It's too dangerous. Oh, they only do it every single night in the NBA. So what are you saying?
Well, there's some people that are soft and don't actually go up for a block.
I don't think that happens as often.
I'll never forget one of your other ideas, but I forget what this was for. Oh, I think, I don't know why I just thought of this. I'll never forget when, I think it was DeMarcus Cousins kept hitting guys in the balls. Do you kind of remember this?
Nope.
And you said the how to discipline the person that's hitting people in the balls, that they have to go to the half court line and whoever they hit,
you hit
in
them
the
back.
Balls,
yeah,
you get to hit them back and the whole crowd watches.
Yeah. Yeah, if that happens.
I don't know why I thought of that. It's like competition, but it's not.
Yeah. In the NBA, if there's a situation you see it happen in a game, let me know. Tag me in it. If you see a player that intentionally hits another player in the balls, I'm sorry. That's
game
not just
stops.
A foul. We go to midcourt and go, okay, you chose to do this. Stand there.
One guy holds one arm, the other holds the other. Okay, you got it.
And just a little tap, and that's what you get back.
Just
sorry.
A little tap. Like, see, and then who's enforcing the little tap? That was too much of a hit. He gets to actually hit back. Like,
man.
I don't know. Anyway, my point to all of this is, with all this competition, just things change. You got to evolve. And I feel like dunk contests, maybe it retires. You know?
No, I still think there's an ability to do it. I just don't know. Here's the dunk contest contestants this year. Stephon Castle from the Spurs, the rookie. Montis Buzelis from the Bulls, the rookie from Chicago. And then Andre Jackson Jr. That's the other problem, too, with the league, is that none of the stars want to do it. And that's been a problem for a long time. LeBron James never did a dunk contest. I'm sorry. Like, think back to some of the famous ones. I've seen the chat bring up Gordon and LaVine. I'm fine with that. They were young guys at the time, right? And that was a great contest.
Oh, that was
fun.
Great.
That was
fun.
But also, like, I think the bar was so low at that point that, like, them just being like, it was like, oh my God.
It was really good.
It was good. you know, Vince Carter, amazing. Going back in the day with Dominique Wilkins. I mean, I wasn't alive for her, but I've seen it on YouTube. Dominique Wilkins and MJ. Like, you had some star power in these contests. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to watch a really bad dunk contest, oh my God.
Which one?
It's embarrassing. You want to see one of the most embarrassing dunk contests ever?
Oh, you're so mean. You're so mean.
The 1996 dunk contest. Okay. Yeah. Doug Christie playing for the Knicks. This is so bad. His first attempt. Whoa. Look out. Whoa. This is the most simple jam ever.
I thought it was great. Look how young.
Okay. He's not done, though. Oh. There's still time on the clock for Doug. Between the legs, off the backboard dunk. Just so soft, though. Like, if you're dunking, you gotta be. And Patrick Ewing and Kenny Smith are acting like, I've never seen anything like this.
I thought that was good.
Oh my goodness. Okay, kick up in the air. Messed it up. Okay.
He's not a soccer player, Deuce.
But look how soft. It's so delicate.
Okay, wait. Mess up again.
The mess ups are what kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie Miller. Oh my God. What's he about to do? Oh, wow. A 2-hand flush when he kicked it in the air. The fans are holding up 10.
Tens, yeah. Things change, dude.
In 2025, you get booed off the floor, behind the back, off the backboard to try to dunk it. I mean, this is just...
I can't believe you're saying that this is the worst. You're just shitting on Doug on Doug.
This is one of Doug Christie's worst moments of his life.
You're such a...
This might get us copyright, but it's so worth it watching.
No, it's not.
And then he ran out of time, so he just had a basic ass 2-hand jam.
I like the first two.
Patrick Ewing being a good teammate, like, yeah, good job, Doug. Even Doug knows he's done.
It's so crazy that Doug looks the same except bald.
Yeah.
Like, that's good for him. What's the secret?
Oh my God. Anyway,
yeah.
So people who act like the old dunk contests were awesome. Great example, 96. Doug Christie, one of the worst. Awful.
I can't believe, like, I think for that time, that was good.
I don't think so.
Like, I really do. No. I think you're just being
not
a heel to be a heel.
In-game dunks are so much better than dunk contests. Give me Sean Kemp. Just dunking on somebody's head. Dominique Wilkins on Larry Bird. Gerald Wallace in the preseason.
So then, okay.
Malik Monk in Utah.
So maybe instead of a dunk contest, you show like the top 5 dunks or top 10, whatever, of the entire first half.
No. How about this?
Okay. No.
That's boring. Hey, everybody, let's watch. It's all
hey, you're shitting on my idea. Let me hear yours.
I'm over it. I'm done.
You interrupted my idea to say you had a better one. So
just
say
to
it.
Be clear, your idea. Let's do a How about we do a montage of the best dunks?
It's not
from
a
the,
montage, stupid. Let's it's
play,
like
play the best dunks of the first half on the big screen.
You do pyro around it, and like, oh my God, that was Malik Monk. Okay, what was your idea?
I realized my idea was stupid right when I started saying it. So
then say it now. Say it.
Like. Have people like have a fan volunteer to be in the way of the dunker and have them like
just someone, the basketball player can still get hurt.
I know.
Like a fan and think about a fan doing something stupid. What a liability. What?
Gerald Green had some great ones too. Yeah. Yeah, dude, in-game dunks are so much better than a dunk contest. And so, anyway, it's the same thing we always complain about. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, the dunk contests are so bad. And these players, I think Mac McClung's done a good job with it, too.
He totally has.
Trying to hate on it. But I think it's just hard because these athletes, and it's honestly a credit to them, they've done so many impressive things that we've seen it all. And that's why in-game dunks are so crazy because there's so many elements that have to go right for an in-game dunk. It's the athleticism, but it's the opportunity. It's the player in the way. There's so many things. Like tonight, even Dorian Finney-Smith had one on Bridges. Oh my God. I'm like, Dorian Finney-Smith.
There's some fun in-game dunks that just make you jump off your couch.
Yep. And then the 3-point contest. I think they're still going to do the one with like Sabrina
and Caitlin Clark,
Clay, and Steph.
Are they really going to do it?
I don't think it's been officially announced, but that was the rumor a long time ago.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
I mean, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, those names, those players, yes.
Any other final thoughts? We hit on Jimmy. We hit around the league. Hit this game. What a doozy it was.
No, you and I, I'm not with you on Wednesday.
No, pre and post game, I'm with you for the OKC Minnesota games.
Okay, cool.
I'm with you like four games in a row after that. Oh, shout out to Isaiah Thomas, still not giving up. He is signing a G League contract, rejoining the Salt Lake City Stars. He's probably seeing an opportunity if like the Jazz make moves, maybe he gets called up to the league. I had so many people clown him. Like, why does he keep doing it? Why is he giving it? I admire, if you want to play basketball, like go for it.
Who are you to say?
If you want to go ahead and like travel in the G League, we're talking about going not on private planes or five-star hotels. You're slumming it by NBA standards, right?
Yeah. I would be fine with that life, but yeah.
I respect that he does what he wants to do.
I agree.
He wants to live his dream and play basketball. He felt like it got ripped from him and his way is like, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
I will decide when to stop.
And you know, so many people talk about overseas and the money that can be made, all the things. He wants to be here and he wants to do it here. So good for him. And I hope it works out, especially like you're kind of saying, especially for a team that's like, whatever.
Next up for the Kings, they play the Sixers.
Philly.
They play tomorrow. So they'll be on the second half of back-to-back.
Okay.
They play against the Lakers tomorrow. It sounds like Paul George and Embiid will not play against the Lakers.
Oh.
Will they play against the Kings on the second half of back-to-back? Oh. Embiid, I guess, like partially practiced today.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
So Embiid has not played since January 4th. The Sixers are sitting at 17-27 on the year.
Wait, he hasn't played since January 24th?
January 4th.
January 4th. I was like, wait, 24th, 3 days ago. I had to think about that. Yeah, that's a long time. And that would suck if, of course, he comes back against the Sacramento Kings, especially since Domas had a hard hit to the floor with that elbow.
Sure. If Sabonis didn't play, that'd be like, oh, hell no. That's not good. But his first game back... The thing is, every time Embiid plays, you know he's going to get numbers. I do think the Sixers get a little out of whack with him. It just changes their flow completely when he plays. The Sixers and Kings did play a competitive game when he did not play in Sacramento just a while back.
And who knows, though, if he did come back, if his minutes would be limited as well because he hasn't played in a while. So you got to plan for it, be ready for anything, and understand they still have a competitive roster.
Oh, well, we got an update. Embiid was a partial participant at practice. Unfortunately, he will still miss the team's next two home games against the Lakers and the Kings.
Great. Okay. So
no Embiid. No Embiid. There you go.
No Joel Embiid. Love that. But you still, like I said, have a competitive roster you're going up against with Philly. And second night of a back-to-back, which is nice. So Paul George could play against the Sacramento Kings. Okay, whatever. Then, I mean, you've played against him before. He's obviously a bucket getter.
Hasn't been as efficient this year.
No, but he's still just such a threat, and that would be like the type of game that he just gets his. You know, not as much size, not as many hands in his face because of the lack of size for the length for the Sacramento Kings. So those are the games where you have to do that extra work, the extra energy, the extra fight where it's like, you can't let up a single play. What?
I feel bad for Embiid sometimes. And then you're going, I feel bad. He makes a lot of money. He won an MVP.
I didn't say that.
But he might go down as like one of the ultimate what if guys. He came into the league broken and missed the first 2 years of his career in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, has more surgeries, knee issues. Like it haunts him. And when he's right, it looks pretty damn good out there. But as he continues to age, it's not looking right.
No.
As often. He's missing more time. And it seems like that knee swells up on him all the time.
Dude. And that's what's going to happen with bigger bodies like that, right? And like you said, broken from the start. I've always he's one of those players that it's like, oh, the what if situation, but it's not even a what if because that is what he is. And that doesn't make him soft. That doesn't take away anything from him or what he's been able to do. It's just like all bodies are just created differently. And he was born with one that was going to not stay together well in a competitive sport.
Also, shout out to the Super Chats. Ryan with $5 saying, wish I could see the beam in person. Love y'all. And Brian says, Daddy Deuce, Daddy Deuce, Daddy Deuce. Appreciate the support. Yeah, Sixers game, you got to get that one. That's a mandatory win on the road trip, obviously, to get to three wins.
Okay.
That'll be two, and then you got to find one more between Oklahoma City and Minnesota. Going to be tough.
Did you see that thing fall from the Jumbotron?
And almost hit Gobert tonight? Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, that is something just like a horn. It was a horn.
It was like a plastic horn. Relax. It's not like it was some like metal thing that the way the tweet made it sound was like as if the scoreboard fell on, you know, close to Gobert's head or something. It's like a little piece fell down.
And it was not close to his head. Out. It just fell in front of him. Yeah. But still.
All right, guys. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We love you guys. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.